All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Local, we're at the airport, and we're going to get the cheapest one-way ticket anywhere.
The Spirit Air slot machine.
Yeah.
The Orion Air? I don't know.
Spirit Air.
Being shot out of a cannon?
Spirit Air does it.
Okay.
I've flown on Spirit Air. People being really mad about that makes me funny. It makes me laugh because it's like, you don't get any of the accommodations. You have to pay extra for them. And it's like, do you want that apple juice that bad?
Mm-hmm. You can bring a water bottle. It's fine.
Yeah, you can just bring your own thing, you know? And it's like, I don't know. But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and I bought our tickets already.
Okay.
And it looks like we're going to Florida.
Oh, I mean, this would probably be a good time to go to maybe to Florida. I know our very best president is down there. I'm thinking like climate wise. Like if I'm going to go to a coast, I'm going to go to, a rocky barren coast, or I've got affection for the Carolina coast. But sure. Okay.
Brackish pools full of salt and gunk.
Gary, you're just describing the ocean at that point.
No, you'd think so, but you go to the West Coast. The ocean is frigid and clean.
Mm.
Now we're on a plane and we're in the air and we are we're crossing over the border here. We're in Georgia, heading towards Florida. This ticket was really cheap. Because instead of Florida, I got the magical land that occupies the same place as Florida, and I got the companion fare.
What? Companion? It's only the two of us going together? Like,
yeah, you're my companion of Xanth.
The fuck?
Which is Florida in those sexist books I read as a kid.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, no, we need to save this, because fuck.
We'll talk about Florida. Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. We started covering bad games, and now bad games are covering us.
It's my only clothing help.
Mm-hmm. It's like a barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this week we are talking about Companions of Xanth, and this is a Gary pick. We also have this was dropped into the randomizer here by Charles, who says Gary mentioned this in passing in a recent episode, but this would be ripe for a deep dive on Piers Anthony, including his very, very, very icky views on women, rape, and pedophilia. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't much to say except, wow, he's icky. Also, it's a pretty bad game.
Yeah, he's definitely icky. The thing I learned in doing research about this, of Piers Anthony, is that his first wife, who he was married to for 60 years, died in April 2019.
2009.
Died in 2019. Carol Marble died in 2019, and he remarried in 2020, like 5 months later.
Oh. Huh.
So, yeah, she died in October, remarried in April. So pretty cool.
Good. Well, you know what they say. For every month that you are with somebody, it will take 5 seconds.
Recover. 3 seconds. He was 86 when he fucking did that.
Wow,
isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ, Piers Anthony.
Is there somebody who is? I don't know who this. Can you grave dig off of prolific old fantasy writers?
Oh, I bet you Piers Anthony has enough money.
Yeah, probably.
Let's say Cole, you wanted to retire in style.
Okay.
I think you could do worse than marrying Piers Anthony.
Probably. I mean, in style, and also, I don't know. Maybe he is pleasant in person. It's possible that somebody can be repugnant in every aspect, but okay to live with.
He's got a real virile look to him.
I've never seen a picture of the guy, so let's
you have to go to highpiers.com. his website. Hi, Beers.
Hi, Beers. He looks like he looks like a late era Christopher Lee would play him.
Yes, very much so.
And also, this is the picture. This is the picture you chose, huh? That smile.
There's lots of corpse pictures.
Kind of looking down on me with shadowed eyes. And those
big teeth, smile.
The teeth that are all of our teeth. There's glass houses, enamel houses, or whatever. But like the perfectly intact all lined up teeth that are like several shades too dark uniformly.
Yeah. He's a lot.
It is a menacing picture, and I don't know if I am just, interpreting, if I am seeing through the eyes of knowing, just like the basic little things that I know about Xanth. And I got to say, I walked into the game not knowing much aside from,
what you'd expect, that there'd be like a teenager trading his girlfriend for
a motorcycle, his
girlfriend in the first like a girlfriend gets wagered in the first 5 minutes of the video game
with a stranger who sends him package.
That's his buddy.
It's
his buddy.
It's
got to be noted, like, Piers Anthony's fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. He's not like gore, like those books where it's all about the man slaves with self-lubricating assholes and stuff.
Right.
Gore.
So that's one of those things where, like, if we're talking about like fantasy and sci-fi authors, the hole is extremely deep for terrible people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like they could be way worse. Like I looked at all these books. This was something my aunt who got me into reading.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I had to get into reading somehow.
Yeah. This was really late because I was like 11, but like my grandpa was the person who gave me the first Harry Potter book,
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, there are 47 of these. The next four of them are forthcoming. They're not out yet. But there are 47 of these. I read the first 19. The last one I read came out in 1995.
Gotcha.
So I was 15, and I was a little over it at that point, but I still read that one.
Right? Yeah.
And 80% of these are just shitty generic fantasy with a lot of puns.
Okay.
And instead of magicians doing magic, they all have one superpower.
Okay.
So that was like appealing to me. You have like a quote unquote talent, and it's like, oh, if it's really good, you're like a super magician. If it's just normal, you're just normal.
Yeah.
They're just really boring. And then the 20% of it though is like the grossest, horniest, like most juvenile shit I've ever seen in my life. Like weird, long things about like fingering your cellmate when you're in a dungeon, or like grabbing onto centaur titty as you're like jumping over a chasm. Like it is the most like teenage tit freak thing, but just for small amounts.
Yeah. Recognizing that we make lots of horny jokes and stuff, but like it's the juxtaposition is really strange. And it's like, who's this for?
It's for me. It's like these books are huge. Like they were for me and my aunt Cindy, who loved them. They're for like people who like light fantasy and don't know what sexism is. Like don't know how to recognize it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't until I was like way an adult where I was like, oh, wait a minute. The main female character of this, like, is ugly but smart for once a month, and then the rest of the time she's dumb but pretty, representing her menstrual cycle.
Uh-oh.
This isn't Piers like working something out.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, the thing that has like colored my opinion of this, three things. A, kind of knowing stuff related to what you have talked about, like just kind of regressive stuff that just works its way in, and like to a certain extent you think, yeah, it's like the 70s or something. People were shitty, okay, weird and bad. Maybe he doesn't put that stuff in there now, but blah. The other thing, there was like a This American Life story about like a young kid who ran away from home to go to Piers Anthony's like ranch
tree where farm. He lives on a farm for trees.
Yeah. It's like a thing.
He took his second ancient wife.
Nurseries have to, get their stock from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And like probably the thing that most colored my opinion of this was the fact that the 15th book in the Xanth series is called The Color of Her Panties.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. you know, sexy underwear can be fun and sexy and a thing that, you know, is a way that couples can throw the, you know, let me talk about this as clinically impossible. Out of any other context, like referring to or talking about or spending any time on the idea of panties is like a highway to being real sus to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That book actually has many connections to many of the books.
Okay.
About a long running subplot about demons.
Okay.
And everything. But you know, not in an offensive way. It just I'm looking at the description. I read that book. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the description of it now. And this mer woman who gets legs when she comes on land and has to decide what kind of panties to get. There's the plot summary is two sentences. One of them is that.
Okay.
The other one is them stealing the panties.
Yeah.
From a rock.
Gwenny has to prove her courage to become the leader of Goblin Mountain. Her task is to steal an egg from the rock's nest. Like, what's the cosmology of Xanth?
Dude, it's Florida.
Okay. So let's start there. Our world in this universe is called Mundania. Like, do you go to Florida and then like you pass through the veil? Like you're going to Midworld or whatever. And it is a state that is just Florida, but it is fantasy Florida. Is there like just a fantasy United States and these are other worlds off to the north? Okay.
It's just Florida.
Okay.
There are four little elemental realms and then the rest of it's like generic medieval zone.
Okay.
Now, to provide sympathy for very young me, okay?
I mean, we all read dumb shit. One of my choices coming up is going to be the Dragon Riders of Pern game, and I like the shoe will be on the other foot there. Continue.
Feel the Pern.
Yeah.
My aunt, who got me into reading, did it in the best possible way, which was give me this book as we went to Florida to go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. So I was reading this book about how sometimes when you go to Florida, you accidentally go into a magical land and cross this veil as I was flying into Florida. As like, you know, I read that like this was like when I was like 11.
That's nice.
You know, what a treasured memory.
Yeah.
You know, like what a cute little thing. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, maybe this will happen, you know, because I was a little idiot.
Yeah.
You know, incredibly cool. After that, but it's just Florida because he likes Florida because he's from England and then chooses Florida. Like, what kind of who expats to Florida?
I think that I mean, a
people
lot
from
of
Cuba, but
yeah, like,
not people from England.
I think that it's one of those things where this was an idea like in the late, it basically in the from the Renaissance up through the middle of the 20th century. But the idea that certain people were better adjusted, like constitutionally, it would be better for them to go to like particular kinds of climates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the air would be better for your lungs.
Yeah. So like that's an explanation for like why old people go to Arizona, right? Like if you have respiratory problems, the fact that it is warm and dry is like probably better for you than being in a place like Florida where it is, you know, heavy and muggy and all that kind of stuff. Other than that, I don't know why Florida. except that it's like a, you know, vaguely tropical. I don't know. Maybe a British person's idea of tropical. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a thing where, like, I think, you know, this was kind of before Florida was just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now it's a joke.
Yeah.
Prior to this, it wasn't. It was more just like, oh, it's sunny. Disney.
Yeah. Like, you know, it got its reputation. All those old people that helped make it a joke, they got there because the idea was you save up money and you retire to Florida because it's warm and pleasant. And if you're going to do nothing, you might as well be, you know, within a couple hours drive to a beach. Right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or, you know, be the place where your family can stay when they come and take the kids to Disney World. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are four big elemental planes, and then there's a bunch of just medieval fantasy villages there. And the beginning of it, the first book, which is the one that is least goofy and most serious, is like a guy doesn't have a power. So it's like he's this outsider, you know, and if you don't have a power, you get sent to the real world. Like you have to go live with us. Muggles, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And it finds out he does have a power. And that's the one where he fingers somebody through a jail cell door.
Weird.
And includes my first introduction as like an 11-year-old to the idea of vagina dentata, because he's fingering her, and they're describing it in a way that, you know, as an 11-year-old me was extremely horny for.
Right.
And the, you know, she's like, if you do, like, he says he's going to do something. I can't remember what he says. And she's like, if you do that, I'll bite you. And he's like, there are teeth down there. Hmm. And they have like a little joke about vagina teeth. Huh. And then he decided to make that a 47 book series. So a scant 47 books later, we get to the Apocalypse, which is forthcoming. We don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah.
But it looks like one of them just came out the day before yesterday.
Ooh.
Skeleton Key.
Yeah, with Squid as the main character.
Cool.
Other main characters, including people like Surprise, Goody Goblin, and Irrelevant Candy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, just audience confusion is a real thing on this, because, like, I know roughly who, like, Discworld is for, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
yeah.
That, like, that would be one of the closer comparisons to this that I can think of. Like, it way is not
worse.
As...
Or this is way worse than that. Like,
yes.
That is way more heady. Like, even when I was reading this as a kid... Like, I don't think I was like, this is fucking tight. You know,
yeah.
I like, this is legit. I think I was more like, this is fun and these people have cool superpowers. And every once in a while, I get to jerk off to it because
yeah.
a centaur didn't wear a shirt. And that's what it took.
Yeah, that's you all know? It takes.
Like, sure, yeah. The centaur. Hello.
This is sad. Anthony has stated that he kept the series going as long as he has because the Xanth novels are just about all that publishers want from him. That's pretty sad to me.
It's a little depressing.
Additionally, like, whenever this happens, and, you know, this guy's pretty prolific or whatever, but, like, you look down the big list in his bibliography, the first 36 entries all have blue links. But then starting at 37 in 2013,
yeah,
it's, red link, red link, red link, red link.
We're not keeping up with this.
So, like, even very dedicated people who, you know, there's some people who edit Wikipedia, pretty dedicated to the minutiae of your thing. They're like, that's not, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah,
with that.
We're good. You know, there's a like, what is the name of the fantasy ground land in Hypnospace?
Oh, I forget.
Like the Wildlands or whatever.
Yeah.
There's something like that for this.
Yes.
You know,
oh,
they'll take care of it.
Yeah. There's probably a fan wiki that's more complete.
There are book like encyclopedias. I used to buy like little like 70s like illustrated encyclopedias and character glossaries.
I love those things. I love the Dark Tower compendiums that I've got. Yeah.
Yeah. This game, even though you do suggest a wife swap, pretty early in it, I will go as far as to say that replaying this, I do think this is based on a book called Demons Don't Dream.
Mm-hmm.
In the book Demon Don't Dream, there is a video game called Companions of Xanth.
Mm-hmm.
And this, they made that game, which is this,
mm-hmm.
which in this game, you play the game Companions of Xanth. Like, you start off as somebody playing a computer game and stuff. Like, it's pretty, like, layers of, like, trippy, you know, metafictionalness.
Yeah.
In the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, your character, like, when you are pulled into Xanth itself, you're like a floating screen because you don't believe that Xanth is magic.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
your 3D glasses aren't enough.
Yeah. Like, you're playing, you're, you know, you think that you're playing a video game. So you will manifest here as, you know, as this until you actually believe, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
You don't always, like, this is a first person adventure game, kind of similar to, I mean, it's like a Legend game. So Legend are the team that also made the Callahan's Cross Time Saloon point and click adventure game, which this feels a little bit similar to. However, Callahan's is a little bit more advanced. That was 1997. Yeah, this is 1993.
Slightly better written as well.
Much better written.
Like, I don't think this is actually a horrible video game.
Right.
Like, you know, point, tap the sign, like, you know, we don't just do bad games on this. I don't think this is actually a horrible video game. It's a pretty middling Legend game. Legend games are cool. Like, I like games from Legend Entertainment generally. You know,
this isn't a revelation like Callahan's was.
No,
yeah.
This is somewhat worse than Superhero League of Hoboken, but probably slightly better than, say, like, you know, the Blackstone Chronicles or something.
Mm-hmm.
but this company's cool. They did Gateway as well. That's a text adventure I've always really liked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Legend is cool.
Yeah.
The idea of you having this fake out, like you start off like playing computer games alone in your house on like a stormy night with this like beautiful old CRT computer.
Oh and gosh, stuff, is the, very the, appealing the, to the me. Visuals in this, the like the non-character visuals are really good. The character visuals, they're trying to do like a scan kind of thing, like a digitized photos, digitized film, which not only clashes like with the really like beautifully painted backgrounds and stuff, but just is dated as all hell.
It's so weird when like the other person shows up, like with a little girl, like you run into the other main character of the book who chose a different companion who is like a little elf with a cat. Mm-hmm. And the way they present that is by like gluing the cat to her back. Like Jenny walks away and there's just a cat stuck to her back. Like a color form. Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's also, it would be a really kind of fun Maniac Mansion-esque adventure game if you could choose one of any of these companions and solve the puzzles in different ways.
Right.
But you gotta follow the book. There's one choice that's acceptable.
And so the companion, so you can choose from four companions. One of which is like an overtly sexy, like demon lady. The other one's like a princess kind of person.
An overtly sexy, Naga.
Yeah. Lady. She didn't look like a Naga. She just looked like a princess.
That's her power.
Oh.
She has the superpower to look like a sexy woman.
Cool. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So the only change that it makes is the commentary that you get that.
Well, early on, but you can't actually succeed in the game with anybody other than her.
Oh.
She's the only one, like everyone else, you'll die really early on. She is the correct choice.
That's bad.
It's a cop out. Yeah, it's really obnoxious. But other than that, it's just like an adventure, adventure game. Like Legend games are like a step above a text adventure game. Mm-hmm. They just have the verbs laid out for you.
Yeah.
And graphical elements, but they're like MacVentures or like Callahan's.
Yeah. I like the visual puns and stuff. You know, pretty early on, I kind of hit like a ceiling. I was like, I'm probably going to see more of this if I watch a video. Honestly, that and the Abandonia launcher didn't have the music. And I was like, there might be voice acting. There might be music. The music is actually really good.
Yeah. It's very appealing.
Yeah. But I ended up watching a video and kind of like scrubbing around in it after about 10 minutes. And, like the visual puns were fun, like walking up to the house where there's an eye screen there's a screen door and there's an eye on it. And the eye says, oh, you need to be screened, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah.
The first mission is there's a sensor ship, that has sensors. Like the incense burners that stop people from swearing.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Like you run into the guy and he's like, help us get this fucking shit off this cocksucking, but they just bleep it out. And it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of shitty mazes in this because it was the style at the time.
I can see that, especially with the navigation. You have a little arrow navigation in the bottom left showing like what the possible exits from your room are.
Yeah. This is that aunt who introduced me to reading. Was the wife of the uncle who got me into computer games that I mentioned a bunch.
That's a really, so really, really consequential couple for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's in terms of my family, like, definitely did a lot of work. So I got to play this on their computer.
Mm.
At the same time, I played Gateway and all these, Wolfenstein, all these like computer games that were really formative for me. Yeah, it was really neat. Like just like, oh, there's a video game of these books that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I used to watch my uncle play them. Like he loved adventure games. He got that so him and my aunt could bond over it, I guess.
Because she was a fan of Xanth and he liked video games. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, perfect.
And then this is also the couple where I've mentioned before that he left her for their marriage counselor, which I always thought was like just funny and awesome. But now they're back together. I haven't talked to them in like two decades or whatever, but
I know
from Facebook. Yeah, the marriage counselor didn't work out. So
weirdly
enough,
that has to be like like the cobbler's children have no shoes kind of thing.
Absolutely, it's a gift of the magi. Like absolutely,
yeah. I know it'll happen. I'll marry a barber. I'll never have to worry about haircuts.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh,
that's a big update on my Aunt Cindy.
cool. good for them. People deserve to be happy.
The game facts entry on my Aunt Cindy is not very good. There's not a lot of good jokes or anything.
The game facts for this is pretty scant as well. Just lots of, you know, direction by direction puzzle guides and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's a couple weird little like things in the fact. Like somebody who doesn't have the references, where he's like, I asked the question, you know, they mentioned Kilroy in this. And he's like, who is Kilroy? I don't remember the reference in the game, but my best guess is that's the narrator of the song Mr. Roboto by Styx.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which does talk about Kilroy. Like that is a rock opera song about somebody named Kilroy, but that's not where it came from.
Right. It's one of the older memes that exists.
It is like an old meme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun little design too. Like the special S. Yeah, no, but I do like the idea that just if you know, you lack the kind of the baseline for solving the puzzles. A little bit like Day of the Tentacle, if somebody like didn't grow up with the mythology of the American founding, right?
Yeah.
You know, in this game, which is all about puns and jokes, like that is a very kind of like specific outside knowledge that it's relying on.
You've never heard the expression, they make no sense.
Right.
You know, and as a little kid, I didn't. Mm-hmm. It was like basically just a fantasy world. I didn't really, you know, the puns didn't really work for me so much because I hadn't heard a lot of them. Like you're a kid, you haven't heard the phrase beyond the pale.
Yes.
So in this game where it's like you have to actually get past the pale that's on the ground,
mm-hmm.
And you have to put rocks in it to trick it so you can get beyond it. I never heard the phrase. So I was just like, oh, there's this quarrelsome bucket. Okay, I'll take this seriously. What a horrible bucket.
Yeah.
Truly one of the worst buckets.
Yeah. If we're ranking them, I got a couple of things to say about this bucket.
What do you think is the best bucket? Do you think it's Mr. Bucket?
Oh, Mr. Bucket. Because
you can laugh, love.
Yeah. Tons of fun, Mr. Bucket. Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Bucket's probably pretty up there.
Mm-hmm. No, Mr. Bucket's Bozo pretty bucket? Great. Well, who's Bozo Bucket?
Oh, it's what Bozo the Clown would throw tiny balls into, or the kids would.
On the Bozo the Clown. Oh, shit, I know about it. Yeah, okay, and yeah, there you go. It was like, yeah, maybe. That was like a torture bucket. Can you imagine how nervous those kids would be trying to play that game?
Well, the clown will get them.
Yeah. What do you think happened to the kids who lost?
Yeah, they got bozoed. It's no good.
You're bozo now.
Yeah. That's how you can do bozos. They put them in a fast growing tank.
rub them with clown jelly.
Yeah. I'm going to say Honey Bucket is the worst bucket. Yeah, a series of porta potties with the gross.
Yeah, name. No, I don't care for that
just
one.
A bucket of honey.
No. Yeah, no, I prefer over here where they're just porta pots.
Yeah, porta pot is good. Or Will He Make It?
What?
I don't mind Will. I don't mind a Will He Make It.
Oh.
You're saying a Will He Make It?
No.
It's a fun little character.
Okay, yeah, send it over to me. Yeah.
Let me see if I can find him. I don't want a video of a Willy Make It, because it's a porta potty.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
It's one of the only situations in which we get to say, like, potty.
Potty?
Like, consistently. Yeah, everyone says porta potty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to try to say chemical toilet, you know, when I get a chance, but, like, it's, sometimes people don't know what you mean. You go, oh, porta potty, porta potty.
Yeah. When I when my sewage was broken, I was looking around. I was really considering, like, okay, you know, there are options. Like, you can get camp toilets, and you can even get like special, you know, just, you know, like a $60 thing that like you can fill a tank up on the top, and it will like quote unquote flush. But the problem is, it doesn't flush and go away. Like, it doesn't become the city's problem. You still have
it just to, becomes your later problem.
Yeah, like you still have a bucket of your shit that, you know, needs to, you know, that you need to deal with later. And like, I can't imagine standing outside and hosing it out. Like, I can.
I can imagine you doing that.
Just not a thing that I wanted to do. So I just ended up rocking deuces over at my parents' house.
Were you considering for a little while switching to the porta potty lifestyle, like as a vanity thing?
Just becoming my own deal. I was like, hey,
yeah,
One thing I know about Cole, he's always got the waste disposal company coming over.
Oh, that's
an attractive ad.
Yeah, that's the back of the box.
Gotcha.
Here. I can't find Willie Make It. Willie Make It is a toilet goblin, like a mascot for a porta potty, and he's like a little guy who really has to use the bathroom, and he's running and like grabbing his crotch to hold the urine in. And he's like running towards a presumed toilet off screen. And it's like, will he make it? You know, his name is Willie Make It.
If I was in the toilet business, okay, and God,
God,
one episode we're gonna avoid hitting this space. Nope. We're not there yet.
Not on a game I pick.
I wouldn't want to like name my business after like the thing that is the worst about it. You know, so like naming a porta potty kind of like as a joke about like maybe possibly shitting your pants on the way to the porta potty.
Yeah, you might miss.
Yeah.
like is the name of it.
It implies a failure condition that is like one of the not the worst things because it's happened to everybody and you go on. But it's like one of the least pleasant things that can happen. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good to, you know, you always want the answer to Willie Make It to be yes.
Yes, because there are plenty of them and they're all well kept.
One of the times like semi-recently we went down to like last several years went down to do game retreat and I got really carsick. Mm-hmm. And we stopped at a little rest stop and I had to puke and didn't make it. I just opened the door and then just that's when it happened.
Right.
And I thought about this a lot of situation because one, like afterwards I got to be like tell Nick like, oh, go pee in the woods, dude. Like I didn't make it. But also if somebody had not locked the door, because what a funny thing, because it would have been one action, just like pull the door open just immediately. Yeah. Like I knew he was in there or something, like pulling a gun on him or something. It would have been just one fluid motion to just do immeasurable violence to this fella.
Oh, so it was there was somebody inside. He had locked the door and
there wasn't.
Oh,
like I got in. I just didn't make it to position myself or aim at all. I just fired from the hip entirely.
Yeah.
And just, you know, everywhere. But if somebody had been in there, they hadn't locked the door. Like if somebody had been there and not locked the door, they would have got.
Yeah. No.
You know, well, that would be, they would just, how surprising.
You would give them a story, you know, for the rest of their life, though.
Like, what did the fat guy do to me? He's fucked up. Do I have to beat him up now? Like, can I arrest him?
Like, do I need to quarantine? Like, what's going on?
I know this is before
pandemic, but like, you know, do I want to be like, is it a problem that I was in the same space with him?
What kind of patient zero am I?
Well, you know? I'd be patient one to two. Oh, no.
Patient zero got me.
Yeah.
You know, all I was trying to do was take a deuce at this rest stop and like, you know, just out of nowhere, the door just opened and exploded, you know, and nothing I could do.
Yeah.
Couldn't raise my Gallagher shield.
I didn't bring my tarp. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Gallagher branded poncho. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but just like that concept of like a business being named after the worst, like least appealing part of it. Nobody docks me, but the smoke shop that is in my town, that like it's like a tobacconist, but also it's where you go to buy like, you know, pipes that are meant for tobacco, quote unquote,
sure,
weed pipes, right? It's a head shop.
Yeah, Cole gets cool frogs. Mm-hmm. It's cool wizards and frog.
Yeah, get cool. I go there occasionally, get CBD gummies. But it is called the Ashtray. And the idea of naming a smoke shop the Ashtray is really dumb to me.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, like it's the worst. It's the worst. You know, the worst part of smoking is dying early and horribly, and also maybe getting somebody that is close to you sick. But also, like, part of one of the grossest things associated with it, the big stinky tray where all the ashes are forever. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nasty. Like one of the grossest things people just keep around their house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much anymore. Like I know very few people who smoke now, but back in the day when it was just in the water, here's just a pile of like, not just garbage, but like pretty nasty, stinky garbage that it's impolite not to put away.
Yeah.
You know, to like not have it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about that every time I drive past it. It's right next to the drive-through, the drive-through beer store that also sells. It's beer, wine, and then also guns.
Cool.
Yeah.
Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty, nasty stuff.
Nasty stuff.
There's a guy who I know from back in the day who is still does check-ins on Facebook, but it feels like he has a setting wrong on his phone, so it just automatically checks him in.
Ooh.
And he's constantly checking into a place called Black Sheep Vapes.
Ooh.
And I was just like, ooh, the black sheep.
Mm.
You look out for me. You know, I'm doing vapes.
Black sheep, puffy clouds. Mm-hmm. Puffy birthday cake flavored clouds.
You know, vanilla pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
Dessert vape.
Why doesn't Yankee Candles get into the vape business? Like they've already got all
the candle
all of
can vape it for you.
I suppose.
You know, why do all the work with your lungs instead of just having a candle vape in your room with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I looking to quit vaping. Why don't you buy this candle?
Who will vape for you? It's like the smoking monkey.
Yeah.
But it's more health conscious, you know?
The smoking monkey? What?
You know what a smoking monkey, right?
No.
They're the Simpsons. It was like a toy that would, it was a monkey that would smoke.
Oh, this thing. Okay. Smoking monkey toy. Did it actually smoke cigarettes? What was?
Yeah. You'd put a cigarette in it and it would smoke the cigarette.
Huh, smoking monkey is a barrel of fun. This is just a review with no product associated with it.
My husband and I first saw this toy at Newbury Comics, and we lolled because it just seems so silly. The monkey smokes cigarettes, which are tiny paper-wrapped incense sticks.
Hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So. I know he should just quit, but it's fun and smells when he smokes. It's fun and smells great when he smokes. In no way am I endorsing real monkeys smoking real cigarettes. That's not funny.
That's a bridge too far.
It's kind of funny.
Can I bad. Send you a really cursed image?
Oh, sure, if you want.
On Slack here?
Yeah.
I think I do. Let me pull up the thing here. I know we're probably coming up relatively on time.
Relatively.
A cursed image here.
I think I might have seen it.
Get a load of this guy. Of this guy.
Oh no!
Then describe it for the listeners.
Okay. So picture the smoking monkey toy, plastic shaped, shaped like a monkey. You put the you put the cigarette in its mouth. Except, imagine it's not a monkey. Imagine it is a baby. It's an infant and it's little diapers. But it's got very strange proportions. And like a completely like smooth, they stretched oddly formed a baby powder head,
like a baby skin over a monkey mesh in a video game, and like the expression on this guy's face is just like, it's just a lot. Like
he's achieved true inner peace, is what it looks like.
He's
to
lost
me.
His crib in a hurricane. And he's just like it's all gone.
He's either found true inner peace or he has seen some shit.
Yeah. Smoking a gigantic J with a set of Lucky Monkey cigarettes next to him.
Yeah, and also the paint job, the paint lines on his diaper are pretty mm-hmm. bad. It's kind of bleeding real over on the legs. Yeah, it's real. The child
baby
would
New
probably
Year.
Paint this. What?
Yeah, you come a long way, baby. New Year. Oh my God, Weirdo Toys, the website
okay.
where I found this. Oh baby.
Look at the image that I just put there.
Ah! that's the scary monkey from Monkey Shines.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's intentionally scary, I think.
Okay, cool. It's a monkey symbol toy with like bugged out red eyes and like teeth that are basically just a grid of red and white.
Yeah, it's a George Romero movie.
Hmm.
It's about a helper monkey. It's like an evil mojo.
Hmm.
And the cover of it is the
it's pray for mojo, but it's P-R-E-Y for mojo.
Yeah, it is indeed pray for mojo. Man, this weirdo toys blog, I'm going to spend a lot of time.
Oh yeah, no, that's the definition of like of a time sink. That's basically a trap for you and for me.
Yeah, it hasn't been updated since 2012, which I also like.
Hmm.
yeah, so I'm
the home for odd, ugly, and neglected toys.
It's incredible. Quakor versus Mushman. Oh, Quakor is great. He's a He-Man. He's the Quaker Oats guy on a He-Man body.
Oh, nice. Oh, my favorite black muscle monster with detachable heads. I think I had that guy with the glow in the skull bug head. Yeah,
Wookie sucks ball. Mortarbots formaldehyde face. This is all great.
Yeah. Oh, throw it all in. This is, yeah, no, I'm like sending this over to my iPad for late night browsing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me weird and bad toys.
Love toys.
So,
yeah, I'm really excited because, this weekend, Emma and I are going and do a little day trip down to a suburb of Portland. And if it's open, there is a old timey toy store there. Toy store there that is full of stuff like this. It's like where I first saw Willow toys.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like those old Dungeons and Dragons toys that are all like super shitty. all in packages for more money than I want to spend, but I want to look at them.
Yeah. That's fun to visit. I used to live near that toy store. I think we walked through there. We went to get coffee.
We definitely
one
did.
Of those times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that sounds fun. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a Monster Train this weekend. But that's going to be fun and nice too. That's a fun game.
Who is that? Yeah, I think that's very fun. I wish I chugged that and the other games I am getting to.
Mm-hmm.
This guy right here is named Mr. Sleaze with Foo Foo Dog. This is from the Police Academy series of toys.
Okay.
Do you ever play with the Police Academy toys?
I probably had one or two of them. Let me take a look here.
Here, let me. I put a link in there.
Yeah.
It's Charles Bronson.
Right.
With a gun tie.
Cool.
So he puts his hand up, so you think he's gonna, and then his dog is like, it looks like a dog, but it's actually a person.
Okay.
It's like the leash is attached to a sheet, like a dog facade.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Weird. Here? I the only one of these that I had was the claw with mouser cat. The guy with the helicopter backpack. But I recognize these.
Man, why did I have so many Police Academy toys?
Was there a
wasn't like into the Police Academy?
Was there a Police Academy cartoon?
Yes,
they made They made a cartoon based on the movie where they hire a prostitute to suck off the police chief under the podium.
They show it. there's a whole cartoon about it.
Cool.
Yeah,
fun hijinks.
5.5 on IMDb.
Do you think that I took you to see those Police Academy movies? Why did you do that fun? For fun? No, nobody was laughing.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
Wow. Man. Anywho, this might be the end once we get to that.
I'm browsing
eBay live.
Maybe. Yeah. Thank you for describing Xanth to me. One more thing.
Oh, no problem.
Like, what's the evil force in Xanth? Like, what's the conflict that they're navigating?
Do you mean, in this, two demons make a wager.
Okay.
Is the story of this, and they each choose a kid to see if they can like solve all the puzzles and get through Xanth for, and it's Earth versus Xanth.
Okay.
But are you referring to the adult conspiracy?
Boo?
That is a long-running joke about this, and it's about how like adults don't let kids see like cum shots and panties and stuff, which Piers Anthony had a real problem with. He personified entirely within his game as like this thing that everyone would rage against.
Huh.
You know, as a grown man, just being like, man, why are adults always keeping all these sex crimes from kids?
Well, coming on panties isn't necessarily a sex crime.
Well, no, but other sex crimes. Kids are always being censored. You know,
right,
they're just curious.
Right. Okay.
But the conflict is like you are an agent of one demon and the other lady is an agent of another demon and you are being like used as pawns.
What about in the books? Is it just like evil kings and rulers and stuff?
The book, it's the demons as well. The book contains this video game.
No, I mean in the series.
Oh, in general?
In the world, right? What?
Not applicable. Like it just changes every single time. Like it just depends on, you know, what dumbass pun and what, you know, horny explosion he wanted to have that day.
Gotcha.
Like whatever him and his wife were into in terms of horned.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So no central conflict.
That comports. That comports with
barely
my...
serialized.
So. Cool. I was curious about that. Yeah. No. Yeah. I will eventually bring us if I can get it to run the Chronicles of Pern Dragon Riders.
Yeah.
Dreamcast game. And I can describe those to you as my middle school fantasy, regrettable fantasy fixation.
Yeah. Well, I had the Robert Asprin myth books as well, which were not hateful, but were also bad.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, back in a kid. Nostalgia, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely the thing I live for now. Yeah. I'm, you know, retreating to the womb in many, many ways. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to find all these. I found all the on Abject Suffering, the Star Trek books came up, and I bought a lot of those. I haven't read them yet.
Hmm.
But I did get a bunch of those, and that and also introduced me to those.
Nice.
Because she was like my dorky fantasy sci-fi aunt. Mm-hmm. Took me to a science fiction convention, which I puked on the floor in front of James Doohan.
Oh.
And the entire ride there, I was with my cousin's friend, and I was too afraid of our thighs touching because I didn't want him to think I was gay.
Yeah.
Because I was 12 or 11.
Yep. So, that's a thing. Yeah.
Yep. So I just ended up with these horrible like thigh cramps from like holding my leg so it wouldn't even begin to touch his.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been kids are idiots. Dude.
Yeah.
It's just you know, you're young, you're stupid. That was me.
Aging sucks, but growing up rules.
Yeah.
Let's just phrasing it that way. Yeah. I like the delightful thing is hearing this like fun relationship with your aunt who like read things and figured, oh, like here, let me pass this down to you. I think about that, like, you know, my grandpa on my dad's side, who lived mm-hmm. in South Carolina. We didn't get to see him very much, but he was, you know, really nice guy. I liked him a lot. He apparently really liked Stephen King. Just a big fan, and even liked The Dark Tower. I didn't start reading those until 2010 after he died, and I was just having a conversation with my grandma, which is a step grandma, we just call her grandma, mm-hmm. and you know, just talking about like, oh, what are you reading? I mentioned Stephen King, and it's like, oh, you know, Ray loved those. And I was like, oh, that's, well, I would have loved to have talked to him about this.
Yeah.
And that is like a little bit of a not like regret, but just like, oh, like I wish the things lined up to where I could share that with somebody, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely like a fun, sweet moment.
Yeah.
Also, the myth books, which I just looked up as well. I wish I still had the first one because for some reason it sells for like $980.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like incredibly rare, apparently. So
is there a Kindle version? Like, can you just like, is the text accessible?
I'm sure it is somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's weird because all the other ones are cheap. It's just the first one. Like, I wish I still had that because it's a small fortune.
Is it like a first edition that they're trying to sell you? Or?
So it has a paperback for $100.
Oh, wow.
But then they also have several mass market paperbacks for used for $961. Wow. Though you can get a used one for $20, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. That's
of the,
that's
the hardcover line. Reprint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anywho.
Anyway.
Old fantasy shit.
Mm-hmm.
We all did it.
We did. We're nerds. You probably went through a phase mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for explaining that stuff to me. I feel
no problem.
This will come in handy later.
Kids got to learn about the tech war someday.
Oh, shit. You messaged me about that. About the
tech war.
Yeah,
we got those tech war games.
Game. Fuck.
In the tech war games, your point of view is up to everyone's waist. Like from a distance, they look correct.
Okay.
But then you walk up to them, you're like 3 feet tall. And I was thinking about if the future happened and giving Pocket cyber eyes.
Okay.
So I could see his eyes like when he's, you know, he's very low to the floor. And I was thinking it would be the equivalent of my head rolling around on a skateboard. But then I was thinking skateboard centaur as like just a powerful phrase. So
yeah.
There's a little tantalizing glimpse to leave people on. you know, but it's just a, you know, a head of a human with the body that was a skateboard and you just scoot it around the floor, you know, at pocket level, checking stuff out in Gibble.
Well, kibble tends to be one of the only foods that's at floor level.
It is one of the best floor foods. Absolutely.
Oh man. Well, if you would like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/DuckFeedTV and get extra episodes of this show, get access to other shows, hear things early. It's a cool place to be, and it's, you know, helps us live. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very cool that people do that.
Yeah,
and it'll be cool if more people do it.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you. What do they do until next time?
Until next time, error, Colbot malfunction, error code 2020. Please restart podcast to correct error.